Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Create Something Awesome Today podcast. This is your host, Roberto Blake, helping you create something awesome today. So today on the podcast, we're going to talk about something that's been on my mind a lot lately, and it's the idea of starving artist and how you can essentially stop being a starving artist. This topic is going to be a little bit controversial in some ways, and part of that has to do with the fact that I think most people have it in their mind that they're either a starving artist or a sellout. And that is not true. It is this false binary option that the creative community has embraced. And I think part of it is sometimes that people, they don't understand why somebody maybe with less talent than them are more successful than them. And I think that there's some jealousy aspects to that. I think it's also this idea of raging against the machine that's becoming even more popular in our culture than ever, and that people want to take on this very anti-business attitude. And I get the stance against corporatism, but being against corporatism isn't the same thing as being against all capitalism. And for artists to be successful and to survive, they have to be capitalist. They have to have a somewhat business mentality about it, and part of it is respecting their own work, respecting their own value, and not accepting this narrative that says that they're going to live in a cardboard box and that there's some great nobility in poverty for artists. That narrative has to die, and hopefully we can bury it by the end of this show. Speaking of artists, let's talk about our awesome creator of the week, Sid Weiler. Sid Weiler is an illustrator and animator. She's also a 2016 Adobe resident. That's actually really cool. You guys should check out the Adobe residency program. A lot of great opportunities there. She is also the creator of Trash Doves. You guys might know this as a popular internet meme and a sticker set, and it's very cool. You should definitely check it out. All of her links are in the description below. You can check out Sid Weiler in Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, all over the interwebs. I think that one of the things that artists take for granted is how much value they really offer the world. Creatives really have this special gift that most people just don't understand the importance of sometimes, but there are people who understand it in the business world and are willing to pay for it. And when creatives don't want to be active in that and to learn about the business world and the opportunities available for them, they then sometimes resent the fact that they're not just being paid what is a livable wage in order to do the thing that they love the most, when the opportunities are there, but it would mean networking outside of the creative community for the most part and getting involved with people who have a different background and perspective for you from you. And with creatives, we sit in our own echo chamber sometimes. As people who are artists and photographers and writers and musicians, a lot of time we only hang out with other creative people. And it's because of the pain sometimes that non-creatives have caused us in not understanding our work or rejecting us or making us feel like the weirdos and the outsiders. And I totally get that. Believe me, I've had more than my fair share of that. However, as a creative entrepreneur, I understand where the balance lies. Creatives have the ability to turn their thoughts into things. And that power comes with a tremendous responsibility that everyone already has, and it's the responsibility for your own outcomes and your own situation in life. And this isn't to throw creatives under the bus, it's to say that it's like, you have the power to build entire worlds. I would think that being able to build a sustainable life for yourself is a little bit more straightforward than to create something from the ether or to do this tremendous amount of world building that so many of us love to indulge in. And I think that if you think about designing the life that you want for yourself, if you think about what that looks like and what it actually takes, and you apply the same creative and problem-solving skills that you do to world building and to building and creating these amazing characters or these great masterpieces of music and rhapsody, then I think that you'll find that the life that you have and the life that you're living is one that you're much more satisfied with because it was the one that you chose and not the one that circumstances dictated for you. This comes down to the intention of making your passion practical, which means partly you have to eliminate the false narrative that you're not allowed to sell your work and the things that you love and that you're passionate about, that you're not allowed to cash in on that. Because while most of you, I think, in my audience already understand that that's a false narrative, there is this echo chamber of the creative community that believes that if you do the thing you love and then you start doing it for money, that you're a sellout. And nothing could be further from the truth. Being a sellout means that you're compromising your values, doing things you don't love, things you don't care about in exchange for money. Doing what you love and being able to be paid for it is great. It is amazing. It means that you wake up every day with a sense of purpose and control and a certainty that you have the ability to forge ahead and build your own life on your own terms, for the most part anyway. At least that's been the experience that successful creatives have told me. There will be interviews that I'm going to be doing with many of these creatives that will tell you the same thing. And that's what my personal experience has been as well. But it wasn't always that way. When I had to work jobs with people and circumstances and in environments that really, at the end of the day, just weren't suited to me, or with people who didn't really appreciate or understand me, it was stressful. It was nerve-wracking. It was the reason that I had severe depression and anxiety, and it literally had me wanting to throw myself in front of a train, and I'm not even kidding. I wish I was. And that's no way to live, and that's not sustainable. Being able to do what I love on my own terms and wake up every day grateful for that and just having this tremendous sense of gratitude is something that saved my life. But it required understanding what kind of work and what kind of sacrifices and struggle that was going to require in order not to live a life unsatisfied or of quiet desperation or to be a starving artist. And that meant that I had to expand my abilities and my skills outside of just trying to be better as a creative. There was no amount of getting 5 or 10% better in my creative skills that was going to do it for me. I had to expand my skills in networking, something that was very challenging for me as an introverted person. A lot of you don't believe me. I'm just an outgoing introvert. I hacked myself to be able to reach outside the echo chamber of the creative community, reach outside myself as a nerd and a tech guy, and to be able to engage with people and do it on their level in a way that they might be able to understand me better or might be able to accept me and understand the value that I can bring to the table. And that was something that took time. It wasn't something I was able to do overnight. Being able to be a better communicator, being able to reach out to people, those were things that I had to struggle through, and I had to make it work, and I had to learn it. And in my case, I didn't have a mentor. So it was that much greater of a challenge for me, because it didn't even occur to me that I could find a mentor abroad or virtually that would help me. So I did that completely on my own slowly. It was very lonely. It was very painful. And I stumbled a lot along the way, but it was one of the most valuable experiences of my life and of my career. And so being able to network and build those connections and build those relationships both online and in real life made a huge difference in my outcomes. That was one of the big keys. The other one was I had to learn the things that I didn't know and that I was uncomfortable with. I had to double down and I had to learn the real ins and outs of business. And it meant expanding my library in books that weren't about coding and weren't about software. It meant I had to get books like The Visual Artist Guide to Legal Forms. I had to get books like Start Your Own Business. I had to get books like Creative Inc., which is a great freelancing resource, and it's also great for creative entrepreneurs. I had to learn these things. I had to get things like the Graphic Designers Guild Handbook. There were so many things that I adopted and incorporated and added to my knowledge base, and that knowledge gave me power. It gave me the power to control my outcomes. I had to learn about productivity. I had to learn about better health habits. I had to learn and understand personal finance in a completely new way. And again, I did these things over a period of years. And if I had had some guidance and mentorship, and if I had had a simple checklist, it might have made things go a little easier for me. But in the end, the result was that I now knew how to be more efficient. I knew how to be more productive. I knew how to speak the language of the people that wanted to hire me. I knew how to create leverage and how to negotiate on my own terms. And what that meant is I could have not only creative control, but I could have real control over my life, because I was controlling how I was spending my time, who was having access to my energy and to me, and also how I was going to be spending my money more effectively to make more money. Figuring all of those things out was the key to being successful and being able to live as a creative entrepreneur and do the things that I want and that I love on my own terms, set the conditions, work with the people I want, say no to people, and be comfortable to walk away from money and not have to compromise any of my values. From a practical standpoint, not being a starving artist means that you have to create leverage from yourself. You also have to generate income in a way that is satisfying for you, both emotionally and creatively as an artist, but that also gives you some true control financially over your situation, aka financial freedom. And there are a lot of different vehicles you can use for this, and technology and the internet has given us a lot more opportunity and freedom than we've previously had with regards to that. A primary example would be the ability to directly sell your creative work in the marketplace online to anyone in the world who wants to support it. That's actually a really big deal and something that wasn't around even 30 years ago. It wasn't an opportunity that your parents might have had or that older siblings might have had. Even 20 years ago, that was relatively difficult even with the internet's existence. Even maybe 10 or 15 years ago, it wasn't as easy to do as it is today by any stretch of the imagination, nor was it as mainstream and accessible. There was a higher degree of technical ability required to have any hope of doing that. Now, if you are an artist or creative, selling your stuff online is relatively simple and straightforward. There are plenty of online marketplaces where you can do this. I'll link up to them, a few of them at least, in the description below so that you can take advantage of that. So if you're a photographer, if you're a musician, if you're a writer, more opportunity exists for you than there's ever been. If you're a writer like Andy Weir, Andy Weir was rejected by every major publisher. You guys probably know Andy Weir better as the writer of the novel The Martian, which went on to be a major motion picture with Miramax starring leading man Matt Damon. Okay, and it was critically acclaimed. Every single publishing house turned him down, told him no, told him his writing was garbage for the most part, and he went directly to the marketplace. He gave it away for free on his website, and his fans loved it, demanded that he go to Amazon so they could read it on their Kindle and to the iBook store so they could read it on iPad. He wasn't in a position to give it away for free there, so he sold it very cheaply, and it was an overnight bestseller. And all of a sudden, these publishing houses that turned him down were interested again. He signs a new book deal and then options the movie rights. It's practically an overnight success story, except it's not, because he researched that book and put in the work for 2 years, not making any money on it, working for free for himself for 2 years, only to be rejected time and time again by people who quote unquote know better as the gatekeepers. He gives it away for free. The demand is there. He then puts it into an online marketplace where he doesn't think there will even be great demand, just to be able to give it to the people who want to support him. And it is wildly successful and is critically acclaimed and opens up all new doors and opportunities and cements his place in history and allows him to tell a story that he felt needed to be told. And that was amazing for him. But if he had let any of the things get in his way, if he had let the concept of working for free for 2 years stop him, he wouldn't have done it. If he had let the prospect of being rejected dozens upon dozens of times stop him, it wouldn't have happened. If he had said, well, I'm going to just scrap this story instead of letting it be read, like, you know, he decided he's a real writer. I wrote something. It deserves to be read. It deserves to be brought to life. And so he put it out there. If no one else was going to publish it and distribute it, he decided to give it away. And then people loved it, and then they demanded that he take it to the marketplace where it was wildly successful, and he didn't have to use a middleman. And all of a sudden, the people who rejected him were forced to eat crow and to come back. And this is not an uncommon story. You might think it is, but this is something that is happening more and more frequently today because of what the internet culture allows for, because of what online platforms allow for, and for what we as consumers want in terms of more choices. It's why YouTube is being successful, and people like myself can be successful in this platform, because it creates freedom for people to create what they want to create, but monetize it. And it gives you guys who are an audience freedom of choice to decide what you are going to consume without that being dictated by czars of taste at television networks, at publishing houses, at record labels. We have all these great platforms that let us have access to read what we want, watch what we want, and listen to what we want, as long as someone has the guts and the courage to put it out there, and as long as they're smart enough to put themselves in a position where it can be lucrative for them or allow them to make a living. So in addition to understanding practical financial and legal matters, you have to understand a little bit of what is available to you, what opportunities exist for you, and how technology plays a role there. You can't romanticize the old way of doing things. I know plenty of artists and creatives, whether they're musicians, whether they're writers, whether they're photographers, they are romanticizing the old way of doing things. I have friends who are tremendous writers, and unless a publishing house blesses their work, they will never put it out there. They want that old school acknowledgement, and it is the reason that their work is still sitting in their head or sitting in their book or sitting in their computer instead of being in the world, creating value for other people and also creating revenue for them, because they don't want it to be digital. They don't want it to be this or that. They have to see it in Barnes & Noble with a Penguin or a Random House or a HarperCollins seal of approval, or it's not real for them. And that is just a mistaken mentality. And it makes people into starving artists every single day. There are a lot of musicians that I know that they're like, if only I can get signed with a record label. Why are you not putting your content out on SoundCloud? Why are you not putting your stuff directly in iTunes to market? And why are you not building a brand? And why are you not on YouTube promoting the heck out of what you do? Why are you not vlogging as a musician? There's all this opportunity to get free exposure that people couldn't buy if they wanted to. And people are sleeping on it because it's not what their parents or their grandparents did, or it's not what their idol from 10 or 20 years ago did. And so in their mind, it's not real. But it's funny because there are plenty of us doing things that aren't quote unquote real, or doing it the non-traditional way, that are now making a substantial living at it because we put ourselves on the line, we took responsibility for our own outcomes, and we didn't wait for the gatekeepers to give us, and actually gate creepers is probably more accurate. Anyway, we didn't wait for somebody to give us permission to be successful or to be who we are, because we knew that if we did, we'd be waiting a while, that it wouldn't come, that it wouldn't happen in our lifetime more than likely, and that when you wait for permission, the odds are that means that you're going to be doomed to a life of quiet desperation, because it's never going to come. The reason that I tell you guys so often, and I even name this podcast, Create Something Awesome Today, is because that is a mandate for what it takes to be successful versus being a starving artist. You have to be willing to create every day and work every day toward creating the life, the awesome life that you think you deserve. And part of that, and creating something awesome today, means putting yourself in a position to do that. If I only had this camera, I could do it. Okay, well, what's it gonna take to get that camera? If you have to go out and you have to mow lawns 10 times to be able to save up the money to buy that Sony RX100 Mark V, then go ahead and do that. If you need the Sony A7S II and you need $3,000, it's like, okay, well, I guess you gotta go out and mow 30 lawns to get that money now, don't you? Like, that's real. No, I'm dead serious. That's real to me. Like, whether it's, oh, I gotta hawk stuff at the garage sale or at the flea market. Oh, I've gotta go rake leaves. I gotta mow grass. I gotta do whatever. It's like, oh, I've gotta save, like, you know, 20% of my paycheck, and I guess I just can't go out to the movies or to the club with my friends for the next 5 months. If that's what it's gonna take to let you buy that camera to be a photographer or a filmmaker, then guess what? You gotta suck it up, and that's what you're gonna have to do. If it means, oh, wow, I guess I'm gonna have to make 500 videos just to get to 10,000 subscribers because that's what it's going to take for me to get a brand deal and that's what's going to make the difference. But guess what? Then that's what you have to do. You have to make those 500 videos if you want to be a YouTuber, if that's what it's going to take. So this narrative of you're being doomed to being a starving artist, or that there's no money in creativity, when we have $17.6 billion in ad revenue alone in digital advertising that creatives can go after, and that's just digital advertising, that's not even counting the other stuff, and then with a 20% growth rate per year estimated against that, there's so much opportunity. So when your parents, your friends, your colleagues, or even the voice in your head says, oh, there's no money in creativity, remember this number, $17.6 billion plus 20% growth per year. Okay? Like, really think about that. There's money in creativity. It's right there. to sell things, we judge books by their covers. To sell anything, we judge it by its packaging. Look at Apple. Look at Samsung. Look at Microsoft. Look at Google. These things are real. And we have creative people coming out of the woodwork being wildly successful every day. And the thing is, a lot of them don't even have to be the most talented person at what they did. You know where people make money? There's so many artists that obsess over getting 5 or 10% better because they're 85 or a 90 at something, and they think, boy, if I can just get to 100. And the reality is that there are plenty of people making money that are a 60. There are plenty of people making a living that are a 60 or a 70 or an 80 at something. And that's because they didn't settle for just improving their creativity. They improved their communication skills. They improved their technical skills, their business savvy. They grew their network. They're people that are less talented than you right now that will be more successful than you because they outmarketed you. They outmarketed you. They outworked you. They outhustled you. They outnetworked you. That's what it took. Those were the variables. They found some technical loophole, or they found some great opportunity that you weren't even looking for because you were so busy obsessing over the quality of your skills and your work that you missed the forest for the trees. And again, that's not a dig, or at least it's not meant to be. It's meant to give you a perspective that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. Thinking that if you just get a little better, that that's going to be the answer. It's not the magical answer. Sometimes it means you have to change the game. Sometimes you have to evolve. Sometimes you need help. And that is something that I think most of you will come to understand if you don't today, within a few weeks or months or years. I hope it's not any longer than that. Because it's something that I didn't figure out overnight, and I'm not sure that I would have believed it if someone had even told me. It was something I ended up having to live for myself. And it came at the cost of opportunities, and it came through painful experiences. And I'm just hoping that maybe with my content, maybe with my podcast, maybe with my articles, maybe if I'm somehow connected to you, that that doesn't have to be your experience. I'm hoping that there are enough other creative people out there who have shown you a path that might work for you, that you can reverse engineer so that you can understand that there is a way for you to be successful and that you're not doomed to be a starving artist, that you can be successful, that you can design the life you've always wanted for yourself. Because again, I didn't have a mentor, and I didn't really have any examples that I was aware of because I just wasn't consuming that type of content to know this even a few years ago. I didn't know. I didn't know what was possible. I thank God every day that I managed somehow to stumble into it and figure it out because no one was going to hand this information to me. I didn't have a Roberto Blake to tell me these things, unfortunately, and it's motivated me to do all the things that you guys see me do in the creative education space, in the creative entrepreneur space, to create value for other people, is because I desperately wish that it had been done for me, and I wish that I'd managed to stumble across it. And it's my sincere hope that if I show up everywhere enough times, that maybe some of you stumble onto me or you share me with your friends, and that it makes some kind of difference in their life or their career and in their confidence and their abilities. That's my sincere hope. So actually, I'm going to ask you guys to do me a huge favor in that regard. If you've ever gotten value from me in any way, shape, or form, I would love for you to leave me a review over in iTunes, robertoblake.com/iTunes for this podcast. Give it a 5-star rating if you feel that it deserves it, and if you feel like I've tried to help you at some point, that would mean the world to me. And if you could share this or anything that I've done that you think would help someone in your life who's a creative that is struggling, I think that it could really help them. I think that if there's something that's helped you, maybe it helps someone that's just like you. Wow, that was a little deeper today than I thought it was going to go. I knew this was going to be definitely an important topic, but I didn't even think that I was going to pull this out of myself and that I was going to get this emotional. But I'm really glad that I'm able to have these kind of conversations with you guys and that it maybe makes a difference for you or means something to you. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's podcast. I'm your host, Roberto Blake, and hopefully I've helped you create something awesome today. Take care.